It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. They gave us one show back together, and then I'm leaving. Just for the weekend. Long weekend in Louisville.
All right. It sounds like a song.
You know, I would bet that it is.
Long weekend in Louisville.
Yeah. I would bet that it is.
It's just alliterative enough to work, I think.
The Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championships, again this year, being held in Southern Indiana. I'm going through Louisville to get to this location. It's really more, to be precise, I go through it. It's only 15 minutes away from, but it's in Indiana.
Long weekend in Louisville adjacent.
Yes. Parentheses, Indiana.
All right.
I guess.
Good deal.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, but then after that, we'll be together for quite a while, for the rest of the season. Somebody on Twitter asked to me today or maybe yesterday, like, you've been gone a while.
Did you quit?
Did you retire or something? Yes. Whatever. Like, I'm back. I've got exactly one day off scheduled between now and Christmas. So
wow.
I'm here.
I'm stuck with you then.
I'm in the seat.
Sal Capaccio with us. We were talking about the etiquette, rules, do's and don'ts of music on the golf course in your cart.
Mm.
I wasn't close enough to you yesterday to know if you had music going in your group. Did you?
Yes, I almost always do. I used to never do it, but now I do it now almost all the time. I bring my speaker and I have some music. And unless it's like we're doing a real serious thing. Like it's just fun. We're going out and having a good time. I'm putting my music on. I'm putting the speaker on. The speaker generally is a GPS too. It's kind of hooked up to it this day and age. So you do that. I did have music yesterday. And in fact, there was a time where my music was off and my playing partner was like, oh yeah, turn that back on. So, you know, it was, I think most people don't usually care, but I always ask, do you mind if play music or do you want music?
I think that's good.
I think Nate asked me, I was cart mates with Nate Geary, and he asked, do you want, and I was, you know, whatever. I prefer not to have it myself, but like you said, Sal, at a thing like yesterday, like we're all just kind of hanging out, having fun, where's the beer cart, that kind of day, fine. Like, I'm not going to complain.
But it's not your favorite.
And plus, Nate has great taste. Like, what am I saying? He likes a lot of stuff that I like. So it was all familiar stuff to me, and, you know, that worked.
I didn't expect to hear Yakety Sax on a loop for 14 holes like that. I didn't realize that was even your thing, but, you know, whatever. Whatever makes it a better experience. Yeah, you don't really like it. I do. I'm fine with it. But Sal said it. You got to ask.
You got to ask, and you got to have some consideration about the people. I was telling Mike off the air, Sal, a couple of weeks ago at Delaware. We're walking up 15, the 14th, fairways right next door. A group in the tee box. The music, you could have heard it on the 198. I mean, I could not believe how loud the music was playing. It's like, come on. What are we doing? This is not. I know it's just Delaware Park, okay? We're not at, we're not at Oak Hill or anything.
But are golf courses making rules yet? Are they like?
I don't know.
Is that on the? Has it made it to the sign?
There are no rules at Delaware.
Okay, but has anything about music and carts made it to those signs at golf courses? Like, don't drive in the rough on number 8 or whatever.
Right,
like
right.
Metal spikes. All the things that they tell you, the disclaimers. I have never seen it.
By the way, you don't have to bring your speaker. A lot of these courses now, you have Bluetooth right in the cart.
That's right.
It's almost basically encouraging it. Like, hook it up and play some music.
That's right. All right, Sal, should we start with your having had a conversation with Brandon Bean?
Sure, if you'd like. Today, Matt Bove and I, this afternoon, had a, I guess you call these things exclusive. I mean, not that anybody else has ever talked to Brandon Bean, but it was just us for close to an hour with Brandon Bean, much like we did with Pete Quelly about a month ago. We did a podcast. We recorded it. It's already up. As soon as it was done, we uploaded it right away. People can watch it on my YouTube page, at Sal Sports. They can download the podcast wherever they listen to us. But, we got into a lot of different topics. And from the broad stuff of what happens this week, take us into kind of the operation of this week and cutting players to specific players like, Tyler Bass, Keon Coleman. And I asked him a couple of questions about, things that have come up in the past. For example, what happened at the trade deadline last year?
Yeah.
He seemed frustrated. How much do you want to get into exactly what happened? Did you have a deal in place? And then you know, speaking of this, these trades, Vita Vea comes up, last year's Waddle and Rasheen Shaheed, and he would always say, you know, we're in on this. We're talking about that. And there's been some frustration from the fans about, well, you always say you're in on it, but why don't you get something done? Like, what is the difference there? So we touched on a lot of topics.
What did you make of his, like, how much meat did you get from your question about the trade deadline?
It is up to interpretation. Let me just say that first of all. I'm thinking it was Jalen Waddle. It
me
was
too.
A division team. He said that.
Yeah.
He said it was a division team. And what I took of it was they had a deal in place. The parameters were worked out. At the end, when it came time to making the deal, whether it was the Dolphins or maybe it was the Jets for Leonard Williams or something, but I think it was Waddle. That's my interpretation. It wasn't the compensation. It was, we're just not trading you, this guy in the division. That's it. And they said no.
You know, it's really a tough one. This is something I'm thinking about Kevin Adams for this because, you know, the GM is trying to convey to some extent the truth and in public talking to guys like yourself and wants to look good. So, yeah, I want to say Adams was kind of known for this, right? Like in on guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're in on this guy. We're in on everybody. You know, we're not just sitting here with our, you know, our feet up. But then, like you said, in this case, Sal, like that doesn't necessarily look great on you either. So the GM might like to be more specific about, you know, what his offer was for a player or what, but really can't. I mean, that's sort of breaking the code when you start to talk about
right.
like what the other
right.
team wouldn't do, because then you're going to break that relationship. So they're in a tough spot in that job because there's only so much they can say. And no matter whether, if he says they're in on it and they fail, then that looks bad. And if they're not in on it, that looks worse.
Yep. I wonder in this scenario, whether the fact that Miami's front office and coaching staff, like everything's changed over.
Yeah.
It maybe, although this was out there last year at the time, but it's a little easier, maybe a little more comfortable for Bean to, you know, lead you to a point where you interpret like I did as well. Like he's talking about Jalen Waddle, probably.
We all thought so.
Yeah, we all thought so. And, you know, you don't want to burn a guy by, like, you know, calling him out like that, but the guy's not there anymore. Maybe that makes it a little easier, right? But
yeah, maybe. And right, he didn't specifically say Dolphins. He didn't say Chris Greer, but that's right. And, you know, any time any of these conversations came up, you know, throughout our conversation, you could tell, like, there's a lot of relationships here, right? Like, I mean, I asked him, like, how does a trade work? Do you literally have a text thread with 32 GMs? And he's just like, hey, this is what I'm looking for, like you do in your fantasy league. And, you know, it was a really interesting conversation and how a peek into it, where a lot of it is just relationship-based for maybe people on staff. So what happens is his staff is always monitoring other teams around the league and, like, hey, we know that they have an extra linebacker and they might be looking to get rid of one. And you kind of follow that up a little bit. Maybe someone on staff has a relationship, so they'll reach out and say, you know, are you looking, what are you looking to do here? Something interesting he said today, though, was he said just today before I came on with you guys, I had conversations with three different general managers. I mean, he said a lot of times it's not GM to GM. It's staff to staff, and then it gets to the GM at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that doesn't have to mean something's in the works necessarily, but just kind of a little behind the curtain of how everything kind of comes together.
He has a text thread. He sends it to 31 GMs. Keon Coleman available, reasonable offers only. Something like that, like you get on the message board in your league.
Right.
I did think, and I saw the clip where that you posted of you and Matt talking with Brandon about this, the trade deadline. The other thing that points me to it was a receiver and probably Waddle is that I think he also says, you know, we had something and then they decided not to do it in division. And while you're thinking you're going to do that, you miss out on, and that's where, to me, like Jacoby Myers and Rasheed Shaheed, if those weren't the exact same day, but you know what I'm saying? Like he missed out on opportunities to help the team other ways because he thought he was going to get this other thing to the garage, and it ended up not. And then, so that just all adds up to me to receiver, but you know, whatever. Anything else really notable, interesting? I mean, I'm sure you didn't only talk about the trade deadline with him.
No. And we went for an hour, a lot of stuff. And people can obviously check it out and don't want to spoil everything, but we definitely talked about like the process of the, you know, this week and cuts and getting together with the staff and how you determine that. And Matt asked him a really interesting question about, like, as of right now, how many spots are spoken for, basically? Like, in your head. Like, if you, like, said, okay, we know this many guys are making the roster, but we have this many spots available as we go to the weekend. Do you guys want to guess, like, what his answer was?
Out of 53?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he said 35.
40, I was thinking.
He said 50-ish.
Oof. Okay.
Wow. So, I was thinking he'd go lower just to, like, keep competition alive for this game tomorrow.
Sure,
but, wow.
I totally get that. Yeah. That surprised me. I thought he was going to say, like, 45. Like, yeah, we got, like, 7-8 spots still up for grabs. He said 50-ish. That could be 48. That could be 51. And right. There's not, right? There's not many spots, though, available. Like, they know by now what they're doing, who they're keeping. And, you know, then they're going to go through the process. And one thing that does help, though, guys, is, and Brandon talked about this, when he came in this league, the practice squad was not nearly as big as it is now. And if guys aren't making your team, you definitely want to have conversations about getting on the practice squad. And you sort of use that a little bit like kind of a minor league is the way he put it, which is right. You know, and, you know, at some point you're going to maybe elevate those guys. You get those three elevations. So that does make it different where maybe by now you could have, okay, we know what we want and we can put these guys on the practice squad. You could start to formulate that. But that's all going to happen this weekend. And, you know, they have to be down to 53 by Sunday at 6 p.m.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I wonder what his number would have been before camp started.
Ooh, good question.
I mean, it's lower, but it's right. Is it a lot lower?
Yep.
Like, you would have been – you probably, Sal, did this, like projecting the roster before camp or at some point after, like, most of the action has ceased. And, you know, there might be 10 roster spots, again, sort of guessing at a number here, that weren't easy. But, you know, if you had predicted those 10, you would have been right at least 5 times maybe. So it's not like there's that many, when you walk in the door, spots to figure out. It's nobody in your starting lineup. I mean, anybody competing for a starting job is going to be on the team. So anyway, it's sort of a way of considering, of analyzing how important the preseason is and camp is.
Yeah, right. I was getting to that. Like, a lot of this, Sal, leads me to think, of course, this game tomorrow probably doesn't have a lot of bearing if he's at 50-ish, right, feeling somewhat certain about the roster to that extent. I think overall, I think one of the things I feel like I've learned over all these years going through this summer process and the practices, going back to when I used to be out there watching practices, and now I haven't been for some time, all I see are the preseason games. I feel like the practices and then pouring over the tape of the practices is where a lot of these decisions get made, whereas we, the majority, the vast majority of the fans, you know, maybe they get out there for a practice or two, but mostly they're just doing what I'm doing, which is watching the preseason games and like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. And like, the game doesn't have as much bearing as there's way more practices than there are games and way more opportunity for guys to like make inroads toward making the roster or play themselves off the roster in practice than there are, I think, in the preseason games. What I'm getting to here is the preseason games probably matter way less than practice does.
I would agree with that. Definitely. And I'll also say there's a lot that goes on outside of the field that they think about. And understanding the playbook and, you know, knowing exactly, you know, your role on the team and this guy fitting in here and the numbers, you know, the numbers at positions, that all these things that can contribute. And then there's the asset spent and the money spent. And, you know, something that Brandon talks about a lot, which is, can we get this guy through waivers? Like, you know, I'll give you a good example this year. So far, we've seen Kenai Walker really flash, right? They drafted Toriano Pride. Like, I think that's a good spot to kind of look at and say, okay, who are they going to keep? Like, to me, you're not getting Kenai Walker back to the practice squad if you release him. He has made too many flash plays. Too many of us in the media are writing about him. And by the way, I know for a fact that people on staffs around the league follow them beat reporters of other teams to see who's flashing and who's not, right? Like, that all matters. So if, you know, if you go into the training camp thinking, okay, we drafted Toriano Pride and Davis and Igbinosin, and that's probably where it lines up. They're going to be our boundary corners. Then Kenai Walker goes out and plays Toriano Pride. You're like, oh, well, we've got to keep this guy. Well, you know what, though? We'd like to keep the draft pick, but how are we going to get this other guy back to the practice squad if we don't? All that stuff starts to come into play over the next 4 days.
You mentioned how he told you, Bean, that he had just had conversations with three general managers. I would guess that this might be the busiest week of that of the year.
Yes.
You know, like
100%.
You've got GMs you trust. Maybe it's most. Maybe it's just some. But you want to, you know, you want to know how this guy really looks that might come free.
Compare notes.
Because
yeah,
that team's GM also has 50 roster
you
spots
know,
locked up.
Sal, furthermore, with the corner position specifically in mind here, you might want to be talking about these beat reporters. Paying attention to how flush that position may be at cutdown time before you consider putting someone like Walker on waivers, right? Are there guys that we think more highly of even right. than our own guys that are going to be out there that might give you some confidence? Well, you know what? We can probably sneak him through because there's 6, 8, 10, 12 corners that I know mostly consensus is that people were higher on than my guy, so that decreases the likelihood of him getting snapped up. I mean, I'm getting pretty far down the rabbit hole.
I know.
But well, I would think you would do that. You would do that work or try to do that work anyway. You want to be as informed as you possibly can be.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're right about that. And let's remember, and this happens every year, there's a 53 that happens at 6 p.m. Sunday. And then there's like a guy or two that actually gets released because somebody else is on waivers around the league. And you pick him up and you have to make room on your own roster for him, right? And guy might think he made the team and it's great. And then all of a sudden, well, you kind of didn't because the next day you get informed, they claim somebody from another team. So they make room for him. The other thing that I'm working through the roster for me is, and I joked with Brandon, I'm like, you want me to show you my 53? What do you think? Right. You know, and I'm projecting too, like what guys could go out on IR? Like that's a big deal too.
Right.
You know, you get a couple to play with here that they can come back. So, you know, if you put a couple guys in IR that, you know, you can kind of stash away for a few weeks, you're not ready. Like today they made a signing of a center. Okay. They have a signing of a center today. This Haynesworth is his name. And several people are tweeting at me like, why would they do this? Is this Connor McGovern is injured more than we think?
Yep.
No. The reason is because you have two injured centers right now, Connor McGovern and Cedric Van Pran Granger. You have one true center who's healthy. That's Lloyd Cushenberry. You can't have him play the whole game. You need somebody to go out there and take some snaps. You're not putting Alec Anderson out there. He's the new starting left guard.
Right?
Like, you could have Bruno Fina. That's fine. Like, he's played center, but you need him to play other positions. So you need a center to get through the game. And that's – now I'm thinking, okay, what does this mean for week one? What if Cedric Van Pran Granger, for example, just isn't quite ready? What if Jude Bowery isn't ready? Well, now I go from my original planning of I have these guys in the active roster. You know what? Now they go on IR. Now I need two more guys to put there. Now I'm at 10 because two are going to be on IR for 4 weeks.
Who do you expect us to see tomorrow of prominence?
Skylar Bell. I think that's prominence. Skylar Bell needs to play. And Joe Brady basically said that yesterday. Like, he wants to see him play. He's excited to see him play. And he hasn't played in a preseason game yet. They're going to sit a lot of the starters. And I would think that, you know, Skylar Bell could be considered like a starter because, you know, receivers just rotate so much, whether he starts in games or not. He is, to me, an active roster player. But I think he'll play tomorrow. Linebacker is going to be interesting to me. I don't know if you'll see any of – you won't see Terrell Bernard. I don't know if you're going to see either Caleb Elarmzor or Dorian Williams. But, you know, Caleb Elarmzor is a rookie. But it would be pretty interesting to see if they put him on because a lot of times rookies haven't earned that, you know, right to not play in that fourth game yet or third game in this case. But at the same time,
he figures
you know,
you're
trying to figure out the roster here. You know, you like what the kid has shown you. So Joe Andreessen would be a next linebacker up maybe, but he didn't miss practice the other day. And where's that? Keontae Jenkins is fighting for a roster spot. So I would say that you're probably going to see Davis and Igbinosin, you know, a prominent player, I think, because of what his draft status was. And then, of course, the quarterbacks, Kyle Allen and Shane Bouchel, will be taking the snaps.
Happened to see the stuff today about taunting and horse collar tackles and these kinds of things, the announcements.
Give a big shout-out to Zach Jones. He actually told me about it. I saw something come through. I didn't read about it, but he told me just before I went on with you guys.
So taunting, I'm not sure, was in the same press release, but it's a point of emphasis again.
Great.
Bulldog, so yeah. Watch out. Don't taunt. And then horse collar, hip drop, a small list of, you know, plays you get fined on if not flagged. And they're keeping basically like a point system. So if you get three of those, you get suspended.
Oh, boy.
If you get one and then the season ends, I think I read this, and you only got one, you get half your fine back. Basically, you learned It wasn't really who you are as a player. It was just a one-time thing.
It was a one-off, yeah. Okay.
You know, maybe it was the last play of the game. You needed to bring him down any way you could think of. So, you know, still kind of we're in that time of year, but the taunting one is, I don't know, is it ever going away? Can you ever see a day where they loosen up on taunting?
Well, it's a penalty until Tyreek Hill gives the peace sign on his way to the end zone in the AFC divisional round, and then it's not a penalty, right?
I guess
that's right.
That's taunting.
What a taunting. What a memory you've got over here, this guy. All right.
It's like everything else. It's a penalty when it's, you know, not
correct.
Weird if we
that's
don't call
the point.
It.
Like, it's just subjective. Like, oh, I don't want to call it in that situation. Okay.
Not now. This is too big.
Yeah. It was peace sign is fine. Middle finger, that's a problem.
Maybe not in that case.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would they have taken that touchdown down if he had flipped off the Bills instead? I mean, it's a version of that, what he's doing.
Pretty much. Yes.
All right, so Pittsburgh tomorrow. Any thoughts on the Steelers, Sal?
I've heard a lot of people lately saying they're a little more, you know, a little higher on the Steelers. Man, a lot of people, but just kind of listening to NFL talk, a little higher on the Steelers than most are because, you know, Mike McCarthy has won games and he's, you know, been a successful coach. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year here, I don't know. I don't see it necessarily. I just think it's kind of same old, same old. They also have a tough division. We know that the Ravens should be good. You know, I know they have a new coach, but they have obviously a good roster, and it looks like the Bengals are poised to be a very, very good team this year. Obviously the Browns are in their division, but I don't know. I don't quite see it with the Steelers, but it's possible. Aaron Rodgers, you know, for all the things we can say about him, it's always possible Aaron Rodgers goes out there and has, you know, a big time game here and there, and, you know, they show up in a big spot, but it probably feels a lot like it has over the last several years with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, amazingly consistent, Pittsburgh. And that's not all good. Just I'm sure a lot of Pittsburgh fans would like just bottom out once. Get the draft pick, get the franchise quarterback that isn't 43 years old, maybe. But predictions, markets have them pretty much in the same boat as they've always been in here in the last few years. Okay. Sal, thank you. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go. That's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sorry for some reason. Yeah, 2 weeks. In 2 weeks.
Yeah. The rust is showing.
I almost forgot the line that I say just about every day.
You'll be back.
I got through it.
You'll be back.
Yeah. I'll be better tomorrow.
I'm watching my guy live updates at the U.S. Open now. It's matches underway. Michael Antonius, Kei Nishikori. We're down love two in the first set.
All right.
Mike and I.
It's early. A lot of tennis left.
Yeah. That's right. That's fair.
Sorry I couldn't figure out how to get Joe's mom's remote to work for you. We could get ESPN Plus on the TV in here.
It's okay. I don't need that level of distraction. I'm very interested in it, getting the point by point. You know, with me in sports, I like it this way sometimes anyway. Yeah. I like to see the data and the stats.
I watched the end of the Red Sox won in extra innings last night in Miami.
Yep.
And I was out pretty late. We had dinner after this golf outing we had yesterday. And I go to get in bed. I see it's an extra innings. And we've got the bases loaded. And somebody hit into a fielder's choice, and the explanation was so quick, and there was so much there. It was like, you know, grounded into a fielder's choice, safe at first, somebody's out at home, so the score's still tied, 3-3. I'm like, I don't even know what happened. Why didn't read that fast enough before I could figure it out? Jared Duran hit a grand slam. I mean, they still had to play the bottom of the 11th. But
did it say in-play runs like my shirt?
No, in fact, it just went right to fireworks. I swear to God, I was watching, and the next thing I knew, it was just like,
oh, yeah, got to have that.
Grand slam.
Got to have those fake fireworks.
Yeah. That's how you know things are happening.
I love in-play runs.
I was game casting last night, yes.
And they do, it's different now. It's quicker to, like, down below, where you have to scroll down to see what actually happened. Because they've got to show you the graphic where the ball trickles out into the outfield. I mean, I don't need that, but okay. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. Bills have had a relatively, is this right, clean camp and preseason so far. They have an injury list. It's not like I'm forgetting that, but I mean, some of these other injuries around the league. Houston week one, they've got a pile of stuff, it seems already. So How do you feel? Let us know. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines are open. This is WGR.